Everybody knows what circumstances are. But circumstances sometimes mean the difference between success and failure. Sometimes circumstances may mean the difference between coming out on top and being kicked out at the bottom. I want to suggest to you this evening that we can break through circumstances. And there are two or three passages in the Scriptures that I'd like for us to look at as we think about this subject of breaking through circumstances. Now, the reason I want to call the lesson that is because there are a lot of people who seem to believe that the circumstances of their lives are going to prevent them from pleasing God. Or the circumstances in their lives at any given time may provide them with what they see as ready-made excuses for not doing what God wants them to do. And so I think for that reason alone, and some others as well, but mainly for that reason, it's very important that we take a biblical look at circumstances, because we've all got circumstances in our lives. Let's get a good working definition of circumstances. Facts or conditions related to or relevant to an event or an action. Circumstances, I believe, comes from the concept of the surrounding things. Circumstances. Things that surround an occasion. Things that have to do with an occasion. And sometimes the things that may even try to define an occasion or some kind of action. Of all of the Scriptures in the Bible, I think the story of Joseph in the Old Testament is probably the best text on the subject of circumstances that we could ever find. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 37 through 50. We're not going to go there tonight. We're going to look at some passages in the New Testament. And these three passages that I'd like to share with you actually contain the word circumstances. If you're studying the New American Standard Translation, the King James Version does not use the word circumstances. Neither does the American Standard, the New American Standard. The NIV doesn't even have it. It's only in the New American Standard Version, and it's not some kind of perverted sense of word definition that causes the word to occur there. I believe it's a very well-used, rightfully placed word there in the New American Standard Version. Before we look at those scriptures, though, there are five things that I think we need to always remember about circumstance. Number one, sometimes circumstances are beyond our control. You could very easily think of an occasion in your life, or it may very well be that you are right in the middle of a situation right now, and you're having to deal with some circumstances that are not in your control, not something that you caused or brought about. It may be an illness. It may be some kind of problem that you're having to work your way through, and it might be something that you didn't cause. It might be something that you really have no control over. You wake up each morning sometimes with the thought, well, I wonder what it's going to turn into today. That's the aspect of circumstances that are many times not within our own control. Secondly, I would suggest that sometimes circumstances are brought about by our own conduct, by our own behavior and actions. Sometimes circumstances come into our lives in the form of results. Results of some things that we did. Results of some things that we said. And so in one sense of the word, circumstances can come about as a result of some. In other words, we bring some circumstances onto ourselves. Number three, sometimes circumstances may produce tendencies in us. Now listen very carefully. I want to explain this because this is particularly important in today's culture and in view of actually what we talked about this morning and some other related things that have really come to the forefront of behavior and conduct in our culture. There may very well be circumstances in someone's life. Take, for example, a child. As that child grows up, that child may grow up in and under a set of circumstances that will cause tendencies to develop in that child. And as that child grows older, he or she may have tendencies toward certain kinds of actions or behavior. This is what I call sometimes the missing link that a lot of people are not paying attention to when it comes to the matter of the sin of homosexuality. Because it is a proven medical and scientific fact that there is no gay gene in any human being. In other words, the person who says, "Why did God make me this way? Why did God make me so that I have these feelings that are against nature?" An individual who reasons that way has been misled and is incorrect because God never makes us sin. He never pushes us into sin. He never makes us do things against our will, but there may very well be circumstances in our lives, and particularly in the upbringing and the early life of a child, that may make that child have tendencies toward that kind of behavior and fascinations even that may lead into sins such as homosexuality. It may very well be that a child can grow up in the home of a thief, and that child reaches adulthood with the tendency within his heart and his mind to regard everything out there as something that he can take if he can figure out a way to do it. Now, God didn't give that person covetousness or the desire to steal. Those are tendencies that are the results of the circumstances in the upbringing of that child. Now, those are just a couple of illustrations, and that's not to say that every fault or every sin or even everything that we're tempted to do wrong is the result of our circumstances in earlier life. It's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying that there are some tendencies that are developed under certain circumstances. Now, it's very important for us to finish this list because the next thing on our list is the fact that circumstances can make life either better or worse. In other words, a particular circumstance that may appear to be terrible on the surface might not necessarily have a detrimental effect on an individual's life. Or a circumstance that may appear to be great to everybody may indeed make life worse for that person. Did you grow up in a rich family? Everybody thinks that if you grew up in a rich family, oh, you got life made, don't you? Well, the fact is, that kind of a circumstance does not always produce a ready-made life of success. Sometimes it even works in the reverse, and sometimes the results of that kind of a circumstance may be the failure to ever develop a work ethic, the failure to ever have an appreciation for the things that we may have and work for. And on the list could go. And so it is true that circumstances can make life better or worse depending largely upon how we confront and deal with those circumstances. And here's number five. And this may be the most important thing to remember of all. Circumstances are never the main event. Circumstances can be quite troubling. They can be very distracting. Circumstances may be very difficult. But circumstances are not the most important things about a situation. Now, let's look at three passages of Scripture, and these three passages of Scripture all contain the word circumstances in the New American Standard Version, and there are some definite lessons that I think we need to take from these passages. First of all, turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. In this passage, we're going to see that sometimes bad circumstances can lead to good things. Bad circumstances can lead to good things. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he tells them this. He tells them several things that pertain to his present imprisonment as he writes this letter. One of the things that comes out again and again is that Paul doesn't want these brethren to be discouraged. He doesn't want them to be overly concerned about him. And so he says this in verse 12, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Sometimes bad circumstances, I can't think of anything that'd be worse than being in a Roman prison in the first century. But that's where Paul was when he wrote this letter. And he said, "Don't worry about my circumstances. Because my circumstances, though everybody would say they're terrible, these circumstances have worked out so that the gospel of Jesus Christ is furthered. My imprisonment has been known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard." Paul had occasion after occasion to speak the gospel to his captors. And he says, "Most of the brethren, trusting the Lord because of my chains or my imprisonment, have far more courage." What'd you say, Paul? Paul, did you say that because you are imprisoned, these brethren have a stronger faith and greater courage to speak the truth of the gospel? And Paul would say, that's exactly what I'm saying. This goes back to that point that we observed earlier. A circumstance is not always exactly what it appears to be, because sometimes bad circumstances can produce good things. Let's go ahead to Philippians chapter 4. Circumstances are manageable through Christ. That's exactly what Paul says here in verses 12 and 13. He says in verse 12, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Circumstances. What are the circumstances Paul's talking about? He's talking about, on the one hand, having plenty to eat, and then on the other hand, he's talking about the reality of sometimes going hungry. He's talking about the circumstance of having everything you need, and then all of a sudden you look around and you've got nothing that you need. And he says, I know how to live in prosperity, and I know the secret of going without, having abundance and suffering need. There is a constant, Paul says, through all of this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, the important connection is the connection to Christ. Because no matter what our circumstances are, He can help us bear through whatever the circumstance is. There is a third passage. It would be neat if they'd all been in Philippians, but Philippians only held two. Turn with me over to Colossians. In Colossians chapter 4, we learn that loving, caring brethren need to know our circumstances. Now, that may seem like a little bit of an unusual point and maybe not fitting in quite with everything else that we've talked about, but hear me out, because I think this is a very important matter. Loving, caring brethren need to know our circumstances. This speaks to the brotherhood of the church, the local congregation, and the relationship that we all have with one another, and the need for a closer relationship with one another. Listen to what Paul says here in verses 7 and 8. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Now, first of all, I want to be old Tychicus. I want to be him. You know, we don't know a whole lot about him. Not very many references to him in Scripture, but notice how Paul describes him. He says, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord. He's a brother in Christ. Paul says he's a faithful servant. That probably means that he had served Paul very well in a personal sense and in a direct sense, helping Paul with any needs or problems that he had. He is my servant, my faithful servant. And he says he's also a fellow bond servant in the Lord. That would seem to indicate that Tychicus is a gospel preacher, very much like Paul described himself as one who had bound himself in service to the Lord. Tychicus was also a fellow bondservant in the Lord. Writing to the brethren in Colossae, Paul says, I'm sending Tychicus to you so that he can tell you of our circumstances. It's important, brethren, for you to know our circumstances, because you're helping to support us, because you're helping to encourage us, because you are being asked about us. And so we want you to know our circumstances. Have you ever had an occasion where you found out something that someone was going through, and they perhaps had been struggling with this enormous difficulty in a very quiet, private way for a long time, and you didn't even know about it, and you felt bad because, you know, your first thought is, I could have been praying for you. I could have been speaking words of kind encouragement to you from time to time. But I couldn't do it because I didn't know about this circumstance. You see how important... Listen, I'm as private as anybody you will ever see to a fault. I'm too private sometimes. But I get the fact that we're private. We don't really want to be made over. People sometimes will tell me, take me off the prayer list. Let's let somebody else get the benefit of those prayers. Well, I understand the point, but you know, that's not really the way it works. It's not that we're allotted a certain amount of prayer time or a certain number of prayers. We want to pray for everybody, and we want to pray for anybody specifically that we know about their needs. It's important for us to know the circumstances of one another. You can take any good thing too far. There are some people who tend to tell you a whole lot more than you need to know. And that's not what I'm talking about. But we do need to have some consideration for the concerns and for the prayers of others on our behalf. And that's why I say it's important for loving, caring brethren to know our circumstances. Had you noticed that word in the Bible? Did you realize how significant it is? Isn't it neat how you can pick just one word from the text and find all kind of good things that we need to know? Brothers and sisters, that is exactly how God's Word works. And that is exactly why we need to spend more time every day reading and studying God's Word. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'd love to help you do that tonight. If you come believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, to be buried with Him in baptism, to rise and walk in newness of life, a new creature, there will be rejoicing among those who know you and among those in heaven who are interested in your salvation. If you've already done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back and be restored? The Lord has issued His invitation. We're going to sing this song. You need to respond to the Master's invitation. Please do so now as we stand together and sing.